Hello and welcome to A Woman's Heart. This is Lisa Granger. As we begin a new year, I wanted to pull out a gem from the archives and replay a conversation that I had with Darlene Larson. Darlene is a Christian life coach, a speaker, and a writer, and her passion is to help women connect the dots from pain to purpose. As many people are setting their resolutions, perhaps rather than just a resolution or a goal, we can look at what makes us come alive, what gives our life that purpose. And I hope my conversation with Darlene will help you find that and put it into action this year. Hello, and I am so excited today. We are speaking with Darlene Larson. And Darlene, thank you so much for joining us today. It is such an honor and a privilege to have you today.
Well, thank you, Lisa. And I'm looking forward to our time together. And here we are.
Yes,
thank you.
Absolutely. Now, your business is called Hearts with a Purpose. And I know that there is a story behind that. So how did that get started?
Oh, there is a story, a painful, painful story. And, you know, Hearts with a Purpose is God's purpose and call in my life. And I have been coaching women through Hearts with a Purpose for 13 years. And so let me take you back. And several years ago, and I was thinking about this just today, a lot of changes. And so in my early 40s, I was praying and praying for my life purpose. And what was it, God? And at that time, in my journey, my life was out of balance. And so I was hungry for my purpose. I had taught children, but I was exhausted and I was burnt out and life was out of balance. And so it was, what is it? What is it, Father? What's my purpose? And a lot of pain. And I penned two questions in my journal. Lord, who am I and what do you want to do with me at this season of my life? And like I said, I was in my early 40s and I was teaching in a Christian school. And at that time, within weeks, I lost my father. And oh, wow. He died with no signs or anything. Lisa, and it was a heart attack. And we just didn't see it coming. We thought it'd be our mom that would pass first. He was in his early 70s. Very tall man, very farming background, very strong. So it threw us all. So
yeah,
that was the spring of that year, right around, it was Easter weekend, matter of fact, because I remember all the Easter lilies. I grieved through his loss. I transitioned and left teaching and came back home to grieve and to get my life in balance because my heart, a lot of emotional pain was going on in my story, which I couldn't figure out yet. Well, then 3 years, and I call them the bookends of death, is that I was still praying for my purpose. God was cleaning out my heart with a lot of junk at that time. And I lost my youngest brother to a heart attack. And it was as if my brother followed Senior, which they had the same names, to Ford Cemetery. And it was such a mirror, my brother's death to my father's. They both worked their full day. They both worked physical labor and they both died in their homes and they died within a mile of each other.
Wow.
And it was heart attacks. And so that grief was losing a sibling's a different type of grief.
I imagine so, especially a younger one. I have a younger brother. Yes. And I'm like, no, this isn't supposed to happen this way.
You're right. You know, Lisa, we think we're going to go out in order. That grief was another level, but I had a really grown foundation strong and tight with the Lord and was making movement in my life. And I knew there had to be more. So after my brother died, within weeks, I picked up a book, and God's always used books in my life. And it was called Pathway to Purpose for Women by Dr. Katie Brazelton. And that came out in 2006. And, you know, as I said, God's always used books. And I picked up her book that summer. I devoured it, finished it, and thought, oh, my goodness, because it was about life purpose coaching. And I thought, that is my purpose. I am to become a life purpose coach. I am to be coaching women forward. And I get why I've had to clean out my heart with a lot of junk. And so I headed out to California, and she was on staff at Saddleback. I got all my coach training under Dr. Katie Brazelton, Life Purpose Coaching Centers International. And they were one of the first coaching training institutions out there at the time. And so I just jumped in, and then I knew coaching women in the discovery of their life purpose was God's call. Hearts with a Purpose was the cardiac death. But also, unfortunately, I lived in a very toxic marriage at that time. I lived in emotional abuse. As I became stronger as a woman in my voice, I knew the next step. I needed to get into marriage counseling, which we did. However, that didn't go anywhere.
Mm.
And so I then went through a divorce. And in 40 days, I lost my mom and my marriage of 27 years went through my fingers. And my teens chose to move elsewhere. And I also lost a home.
Wow, that was a lot of change in a short amount of time.
Yep. So there's not too much, Lisa. I mean, women's stories can be messy, hard, and heavy. And I get that. And unfortunately, I get it really deep. And so I'm passionate. I'm really passionate about women and life purpose. And he's not done with us till our last breath. And I don't care what a woman's gone through. God will resurrect it if we stay on the potter's wheel and we stay moldable. And so that's how Hearts with a Purpose was birthed.
Wow. Yeah, and definitely there was a lot of tragedy. To me, I find it fascinating that, one, you didn't feel that urge at the age of, say, 21. I mean, that was a little later on, because I know sometimes we think we're too young, but sometimes we think we're too old, that because we're not starting until we're a little later, oh, well, I'm not going to really be able to do much with it because I don't have that much time. And that's not necessarily true either. And that, as you mentioned, you were going through this even though your marriage was kind of a mess in the middle. And I know I've spoken to several women who have been through emotionally abusive marriages, and that can sometimes be just as difficult to overcome as, say, a physically abusive. Neither one is okay, but sometimes the emotional scars can be even more difficult to overcome because you question yourself and nobody sees them. You don't see the bruises, you know, that you would on your arm. They're bruises on your heart. And sometimes those can take a lot longer to heal. So kudos to you for being able to hang on and still come out with that purpose and then be able to use all of that pain and the loss to then help other women.
Well, thank you. I give the credit to God. I mean, I really do. And his word, Lisa, I happen to have prayed Daniel prayer in my early 20s that I would purpose to stay tight to the Lord and in the word. And I believe that was a prayer God kept hanging over my head and reminding me and nudging me through the Holy Spirit to keep going to the word, because it truly was the word that kept me going and kept me alive, especially in the last 10 years of the marriage. It was extremely painful.
Wow.
And you're right. You're absolutely right. Emotional abuse is slaughtered my heart. It was like mincemeat. And through the truth and God and years of counseling and being coached and knowing that this is why God kept me alive, because see, that was supposed to have been me in the casket.
Wow.
And that's where my brother's death just ripped me, because it was supposed to have been me. And so the question I asked God at the standing at his casket is, what's my legacy? You know, okay, Lord, you obviously want me still alive. So what is it?
Yeah.
What am I to be doing? And so, you know, there's a question, I think you're right about age and women. Two things I want to say to that is, one is an excuse. And this comes from another author, a friend I've read, but we can say we're too old. And really, that's an excuse that a lot of people use. But you have to look at your life and say, really? Let's say you're 45, you're 50. And I do these 2-day life plans with women, and it's taking their life from behind them, the windshield, or looking behind them in the rearview mirror, and then bringing it forward to look through the windshield of their life. And we have to say, really? Okay, let's say you're 50. You just want to put pause. You could live another 40 years.
Yeah.
And do you want
God willing, yes.
Correct. And so I know how to throw those questions so a woman will really look at that and go forward. Because the question I had to ask myself that was a turning point for me is, could I live with this pain any longer in my mid-40s? And the answer was, I couldn't. And then the next question that I asked God after my brother died, am I the next Terrell to die? And Terrell's my maiden name, but am I the next Terrell to die? And of course, God didn't answer. All he led me to the word in Deuteronomy is, choose life, darling, choose life. And so it was like, okay, that's what we're going to do. We're going to choose life. We're going to go forward. We're going to get Hearts with a Purpose up and grow it and get my books written and more books to come. So one other thing, you mentioned the 20s. Something God does do in our stories, though, Lisa, is he gives us sneak peeks.
Ah.
So when women want to be coached and they want to discover, so what is it? Well, it's within you. It's on your heart. It's not going to go away. And, you know, speaking to women who are maybe stay-at-home moms right now, or, you know, children, parenting, homeschooling, you are doing it. And don't miss these opportunities. Celebrate. Live it. Because that's your purpose. He works through our roles. You know, my role in my 20s was, I know I was to teach. And I know God was, he wanted me teaching a Christian school. So I went there. However, Lisa, in my early 20s, I went to a Christian woman's retreat. And I sat in almost the front row, and I didn't know there was such a thing. And when I sat down and the speaker got up to speak and she had her own curriculum, I thought my heart was going to come out of my chest. It was like, sign me up. That is me. Yes. I want to do that. However, I told the Lord and myself, right, just what things I would teach women what someday. And I'll just say, God, I chuckle at that now because, sure, I'll teach the word and the Lord, but I'll also talk about brokenness.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Well, and even as much as I've been to places, because I understand that I've stayed at home and raised three kids, and then I worked myself out of a job, as I was talking to somebody, said, you stayed in your lane, and now your lane's not there because they're off and they're living their lives. So I did my job. My son flew away to go do a study abroad. I looked at my husband and I said, well, we did our job. Dang it. Because now we, we did our job and I stayed in my lane and now the lane's not there. And so it is, it's kind of tough navigating that transition. But a stay-at-home mom, well, I say stay at home. You're rarely at home when you have a bunch of kids at home and you're running them here and there and the other places. But having gone to different women's retreats or conferences and that, I do know what you're talking about when you go, wow, just to be a part of helping other women, encouraging them it's a high. It's definitely, to me, I find it very admirable and I definitely admire and really enjoy now being able to share other people's stories and hope that they can then encourage other people. And it's a real privilege and an honor to be able to be a part of that encouragement and help somebody have that aha moment and move on and do that. So it's very satisfying.
And look what you're offering with your radio. It's just beautiful. Oh, absolutely.
Well, thank you. And you mentioned earlier that some of the books, now you have a whole series of books, and you mentioned that books have always played a big part in your life. So tell us about the series of books that you have written. And I thoroughly enjoyed reading the first one.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, the books are written as we do life out of several domains a day. And if you don't know what a domain is, it's think of a big cake and then slicing it up into pieces. We do our life in several domains. For example, our devotions, or we can call them spiritual disciplines, or our growth with God, we'll call our spiritual. Then our thought life is our mental domain. And then our feelings, emotions, you know, our is another domain. And then our relationships, we're doing that all day. Also our finances, also our life purpose, career / vocation. And of course, our physical, our home and our body, and our ambiance. So what happens is, you know, women try and doing all this. And so there's going to be 7 books when they're all done. 4 are out right now. 5 I'm currently writing on. And it's called Enable Me, Lord, to Shift. Are you stuck in idle? Learn how to shift into the truth and live. And so what I have done is I've taken one verse at a time, and I'm teaching a woman how to apply the verse, one verse at a time. But I'm doing it through sharing a woman's story. It could be a woman's story that I've coached. It could be a slice of my story. And it's teaching, you know, apart from me, apart from God, you can do nothing. John 15, 5b. And what does that look like? Well, how do you apply that in your life? But as I teach the verse, and it's a devotional size, 31 days, is then I have coaching questions. I want a woman to read scripture. I want it to transform her life. But the only way it's going to transform her life is if she applies it.
Yes.
I know a lot of women that show up to churches or Bible studies year after year after year, and they're still the same after 20 years of Bible study. Now, I want women to change and grow so they can experience the freedom and the joy that the Lord gives us and how their life can really change. And so that's how I've written the books. I also have a report card in every book so a woman can assess her life right where she's at. And as a coach, that's what I do. I have to meet a woman right where she's at, and she wants to get over here in life. You know, Darlene, I want to get my paintings into galleries. So how do I do that? Well, where are you at today? Where's your relationship with God today? So I do an inventory, and then I move her through the shift series as well as life purpose coaching curriculum and more curriculum. And she begins to take steps and gets out there in her lane of purpose, as you used that term earlier. And so that's how I've written the shift books. And if any women would like to go to my website, heartswithapurpose.com, you go to the top slider and right there you can click a download, a free one of book number one that I want to give to readers, to women, to have fun and learn and grow and apply the word to change their life and to grow in love with God.
Yeah, there are a lot of thought-provoking questions in there, and I was trying to read it fairly quickly before I spoke to you, so I wasn't able to just sit and digest it all, but I was like, wow, these are some really good questions, and you really do. You talk at the very beginning about shifting from just reading the Bible to really receiving it, because I know as women, we tend to give and give and give, and we don't always necessarily receive. And sometimes it can be very difficult for us to receive. You know, I know a very powerful exercise that I still remember from high school was our drama teacher. We had to stand in a circle. We had an inner circle and an outer circle. And you would look in front of someone. And one person was to give the other person on the inside of the circle a sincere compliment. Not just a, your hair looks nice, it's a pretty blouse, but try to give them a sincere compliment. And the only thing you were allowed to say was thank you. That was all you were allowed to say. And it was so hard to just say thank you instead of, oh, well, and dismiss it, diminish it, or whatever. And sometimes, I don't know if men struggle with this, I'll only speak from a woman's perspective on this one, it can be very difficult to just say thank you and receive that. But then as the word, I'm currently doing something, and she talks about feasting on the Word of God, and not just reading it, but feasting on it, taking it in, chewing on it, really digesting it, and making a part of you. And I love that image of not just taking it, but just feasting on it, devouring it, chewing on it, meditating on it. And you're right, that's when we really start to see the change occur.
It is. It is. I mean, these books, and I can also share with you, the reason I wrote these like this is because of what happened in my journey. My relationship with God could not be touched by the abuser in my story, could not be touched. And so my relationship with God was cemented and strong. And so that's what kept me going. And so as I grew stronger, then I had to shift my thought life and get rid of the lies and the second guessing and the doubt. And so then the mental book, the blue one, is the second one. And then the third, many women, Lisa, live by their feelings. You know, if I don't feel like getting up, I'm not going to. If I don't feel like exercising, I'm not. If I don't feel like, you know, I just don't feel like cleaning my house.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't know anything about living by your feelings.
No. Feelings, you know, can really mess us up. They can ruin and rob us of life. And so that's the third book about how to get our emotions under God's control. And then the fourth book out is on relationships. And then the fifth one I'm writing now is the vocation, career, life, purpose. And then there'll be the finances and physical. And those will be all a part of the shift series. And currently I'm waiting to hear from publishers on two other books that go along with life, purpose, and coaching women.
Wow. Well, that's exciting. I am looking forward to seeing more about that. And I think they all, one of the other things that I noticed when I was reading this, and I think it kind of ties into all of those different areas that you mentioned, is so often women put ourselves last on our to-do list. We see self-care or self-growth as just something extra to do in an already busy schedule. And I can only imagine, and I would love for you to speak to this as far as women goes and your coaching, is how do we get past that? In that, no, it's not being selfish or anything like that to really make time to feed ourselves, either be in the Word or do something for ourselves, that's not necessarily being selfish or even unspiritual and all that, because we do. We have such a busy schedule and we just think of that as something extra. How important is that to maybe rearrange and reframe that?
No, you did, Lisa. I mean, I've coached and said to women, go look in the mirror. There's only one you. And if you don't take care of yourself, which means maybe just stop. And I can't tell you how many times I've had to coach women to stop and sit for 5 minutes and do nothing. No phone, nothing. thing in your hand. Do you know how hard that is for women?
Yes, I do. I've tried to do it sometimes. Yeah. I've gotten a lot better.
You know, I was an addict to busyness.
Yes.
And I was also addicted to affirmation, and that never came. And that's where God broke me to realize that my acceptance only comes through Christ. But what happens if I would not have stopped and grieved? And I'll tell you, I was scared to stop. Mm-hmm. I was very scared to stop. At the beginning, I shared about my dad. My life was out of balance, early 40s, pen those two questions to God. I was scared to stop and grieve because I didn't know if I could stop. And then I didn't know if I was going to like what I discovered.
Yeah.
And I had to stop, though, because I was about ready to, my engines to blow. And that's what I want to say to women. Women, if you're waiting, precious, precious women, if you're waiting for someone to tell you your life's out of balance or you really need to stop, you may not get that from anyone. People may say it or see it, or they may see it, but they may not say it.
Yeah.
But if you sense within you that your engines are going to blow, you must heed that because your body is telling you, do stop and take care of yourself. If you don't take care of yourself, how are you going to make it the long haul if God gives you life the long haul?
Yeah, exactly. And he never calls us to be busy. He calls us to be fruitful. And sometimes busyness, when you said you were afraid to stop, I can resonate with that because that busyness and that to-do list, one, it can be a source of pride to be that busy, but also it can mask and distract from other issues that probably need to be dealt with. So we can just use the excuse of being busy and then yeah, we go through the day and we've had a lot to do, but we can't really say what all we've done. And there's not really a lot of satisfaction in being busy. That's where I have to, well, I had a lot done. Do I feel satisfied or do I just feel like I ran around like a chicken with its head cut off all day? And that to me has been kind of a sign as to, am I being busy or am I being fruitful? Because sometimes you can actually be more fruitful when you do less. Which doesn't seem to make sense.
Absolutely. You know, I also think of the verse, and the Lord tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. I think we need to stop and say, so I know people that would give their shirt off their back for their neighbor or take food to their neighbor and love their neighbor, but then they deny themselves. And it's like, wait a minute, that verse says love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yeah.
So what are you doing for yourself to build in margin in your life? That it's okay to take an hour break. It's okay to go take a walk. It's okay not to pick up your phone for every text message that comes in.
Yeah, that can be really hard for some people. And I love how you called it the goddess of perfectionism at one point when we were talking about busy and the world's thing of it's never enough and all of that, because I have definitely struggled with the perfectionism, and that's a very difficult one to deal with at times.
Yes, those were two of my idols, were people pleasing and perfectionism. And I'll say I'm a recovering perfectionist person and I'm a recovering people pleaser, but those two trapped me. And that's what trapped me in the abuse for so long.
Oh, yeah.
People pleasing and the perfectionism and fear. Fear is what trapped me the biggest and then wrapped me up in those two lies.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very easy to do. I am on the same page with you, trying to recover from those. One of the other things that I read in the book that I kind of read it. I even read it to somebody else and they went, ooh, ouch. I went, yeah, I know, but there's a lot of truth to it. You talked about preparing our hearts to be good soil for God's word. And the question you asked was, is God plowing, disking, and dragging over your heart through life's circumstances? What is coming up to the surface? And I read that to someone and they went, ouch, that sounds painful. And I was like, well, yeah, it does. It kind of reminds me of when he talks about refining us like silver. Well, they heat that silver up really, really hot. So all the impurities come to the surface and then you skim them off. And I will joke when life kind of tends to be a little difficult that, you know, God's turning the heat up and I'll say there's scorch marks on my fanny. So so can you maybe explain, I mean, definitely with your story, and that's how Hearts with a Purpose came about. But I think sometimes we can say over spiritualize, oh, we're just getting ready for our hearts. But it's not always easy to look at it that way when we're in the middle of it. When we're really in the middle of the heat and all of that, it's kind of hard to keep our focus on, oh, you're just preparing my heart, Lord. Thank you so much for this really difficult thing. So how do you coach women through that?
Oh, good question. And, you know, Lisa, that's a really, really good question, powerful question. And I've written a book about that that publishers are looking at right now. But I'll tell you, it has to do with really getting honest with God and really pouring your heart out. He tells us in Psalm 62:8 to pour your heart out to me. And God heard every word you can imagine through my journey, through being ignored and criticized and negated for years, and especially the ignoring just sliced my heart. And so I kept turning to the Lord and I said, you know, what is wrong? What is wrong with me? And that's what abuse does, until I understood, which I should say, I didn't know until 22 years into the marriage, there was a term for what I lived in. So that helps with some of the story. Mm-hmm. But it's to really get honest with God and say, I don't like what you're putting me through. This isn't good. You know, maybe we've lost a child, a miscarriage, infertility, divorce, you know, illness, cancer, COVID, you name it. I mean, I have 100 and I think a page with 123 grief loss boxes that a woman could check.
Wow.
And so it's getting real with God and saying, you know, I don't like this. This hurts. And then really, Lisa, it goes back to, are we going to stay moldable? Are we going to allow ourselves to stay on the potter's wheel and to trust God that he's going to shape us and refine us? And it's really entrusting ourselves back into God.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's messy, Lisa.
Yeah, it is.
It's messy and it does not look nice and it may not sound nice. And I didn't hold anything back from God. And the grief between the bookends of death was wretched. My goal, especially after my brother's death, was I was so sick of pain that I wanted to get on the other side and to live without pain.
Wonderful.
I really did. And God led the way. And I don't have that pain today. And I thank God. And there's been more grief since then. But I thank God. I don't look back at that. I'm past it and I'm moving on so I can help other women. But that's the best thing I could say, Lisa, is when we're going through the fire and the heat's getting turned up, stay in the Word and stay in with God and battle it out with God.
Absolutely. Well, if people, you mentioned your website, if people want to get a hold of these books or maybe set up some coaching or get in touch with you and connect with you, what is the best way for them to do that?
Well, I already shared, they're welcome to come on over at heartswithapurpose.com and you can get the first book downloadable right there off my website. The second thing is, if you would like a complimentary 30-minute coaching session, I do offer those to women right on my website, right on the very first page where it says, hey, I'm Darlene Larson. There's a spot there that says 30-minute coaching, free coaching, and I'll gift a woman 30 minutes of life purpose coaching or grief loss. I happen to be a life purpose coach, life coach, grief loss coach, and a recovery coach just because they all fit my journey.
Yes, and, they do.
You know, coaching women forward. And so my email is also right there on my website. I do speak at retreats and camps and churches, which I love to do. And now that churches are opening back up. And so that's how you can reach out to me. My books are on Amazon. They're on my website. And I'm on Facebook and under Hearts with a Purpose, Instagram, Hearts with a Purpose, LinkedIn. You can find me all over. And I would love to connect with women. Absolutely.
Yes. Wonderful. Well, Darlene, thank you so much for sharing just some of your wisdom and your story. Really appreciate it. And just really wish you the blessings in helping to encourage other women.
Oh, Lisa, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And it's a joy. And it was just a sweetness to meet you this past year. And so God bless you as well.
Thank you. Thanks so much for joining me on A Woman's Heart with Lisa Granger, where we offer hope,
encouragement, and real life application to walk closer with God. I would love to connect with you on social media. I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and also your favorite podcast platform. Could you rate and review? That would be such a huge help. That will help other people find these amazing, encouraging stories. It means so much to us to do that. I look forward to joining you next time.